Good morning and welcome to Mound Money on this blustery Monday morning. I'm Doug Wells. I'm here with Roger Goldman. Good morning, Roger. How was your weekend?
My weekend was excellent, although, you know, I was kind of hoping for golf this weekend, and unfortunately the slopes aren't open, so I don't know what we're going to do.
We got a couple more weeks. Boy, this is maybe one of the earlier storms since I've been here, though that said, I do remember snow in September in the past as well.
I also remember a Park City High School football game in mid-October where I was sitting with my family in the snow as my poor kid was trying to play the tuba in the snow. Anyway, so it goes in mid-October. It's one of the things we love about this place.
Always fun dealing with the snow. I remember playing football as well. It's a lot more fun watching a football game in the snow than it is playing the football game in the snow. But enough about the weather. We've got a great show for us for you today. Our first guest
will be Alexandra Watkins, the author of Hello, My Name is Awesome, How to Create Brand Names That Stick, a really fun book about ways in which to create a name for your business that pulls in customers.
Every year, 6 million companies and more than 100,000 products are launched. They all need great names, and Alexandra's going to talk to us about how to do just that. Alexandra, thank you for joining us on Mound Money.
My pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning. And I apologize for trilling my R's. I had a Spanish class at 5 a.m. this morning, and I'm still trilling my R's, so I apologize for that.
Well, I love it.
So you are a naming expert, and as we were talking in the green room, my co-host Roger and I were wondering, for somebody that makes their living helping companies come up with names, what is the name of your company?
The name of my company is Eat My Words. We're called Eat My Words because we started out naming things that make people fat and drunk. Now we don't do so much of that anymore, but we do name a lot of food and beverage.
One of the things that I noted was in some of the publicity materials we received from you, it says, too many new companies have names that look like the results of a drunken Scrabble game. I just loved that. Can you tell us a little bit about what we're getting at there and why it is that you find so many names so ineffective?
Well, I think probably in Salt Lake City and the surrounding areas, there's a lot of tech startups. And these companies have this crazy idea that if they just make names that are a mess of, you know, letters jumbled together, that somehow that makes them creative, and it doesn't. So your name should be able to be spelled exactly how it sounds.
And it should, you talk about the smile test and the scratch test, and I'll have you get into that in a minute. But, you know, one of the realities for these tech companies, and it's something that is a challenge today that likely did not exist, for sure did not exist 25 years ago, but there might have been a similar problem, which is what I want to ask you about. You know, the challenge with coming up with a great name right now is somebody probably has that URL, and it's going to cost you a fortune to get that. Was there a similar problem 40 years ago that people had to contend with?
Well, I'm only 25 years old. I'm just kidding. I wasn't naming things then, but no, I do not think there was a problem. I think back then, the number one thing people wanted was to be listed first in the Yellow Pages. So a lot of companies wanted their name to start with an A. So you remember all the carpet company?
Yeah.
Triple A, quadruple A, single A, carpet cleaning. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. But now people are so desperate to find an available domain name, and you don't need to do that. Nobody expects you to have an exact match domain name anymore. The internet ran out, just about. I mean, even snot.com is taken, believe it or not.
It's probably worth millions, actually. That's not a bad name.
Probably is. It probably is. When I was writing my book, I was trying to think of, okay, what's something, like, what's a really, like, kind of gross word is taken, and yeah, snot was. But all you have to do is add a modifier word. A lot of people don't know this, but the first 13 years that Tesla was in business, their domain name was not Tesla.com. It was TeslaMotors.com. Facebook, until 2005, was the Facebook. I don't know if you remember Dropbox, was Get Dropbox. So a lot of companies have realized what smart people know, which is, don't let a great brand name stop you if you can't get the domain name. Just use that name, add a modifier. Nobody cares.
Let's talk a little bit about your rules. And one of the things that I really enjoyed were your concepts of smile and scratch. What are those two terms, and what do they relate to?
Well, SMILE is an acronym for the 5 qualities that make a name awesome. Scratch is an acronym for the 7 deal breakers. And like I say, if it makes you scratch your head, scratch it off the list. Do you want to hear what each one stands for?
I think that would be useful.
Okay, here we go. The S in SMILE stands for suggestive. You want your name to suggest something about your business. For instance, Amazon suggests massive. The M in SMILE stands for memorable. You want your name to be sticky. People remember names that are based on concepts and words that are already in our knowledge base. And that's why those crazy tech names don't really resonate, because there's nothing in our brain to latch onto.
Let me stop you on that one. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Give us an example of a crazy tech name you don't like.
Zobni. X-O-B-N-I. What does that even mean? And first of all, you know, if I didn't pronounce it, I don't know how you thought it was pronounced, if I said X-O-B-N-I, or all the listeners, but yeah, and get this, it was pronounced Zobni when they first started the company, and Bill Gates pronounced it Zobni, so they changed the pronunciation based on how Bill Gates pronounced it. What does Zobni mean? Any clue there?
Or what do they do? I mean, I have no idea.
Zobni is inbox spelled backwards.
And somebody thought that was very clever.
Very clever, exactly.
Yeah, and you know what? It's creative. But just because it's creative does not mean it's a good idea. You can wear a polka dot sock and a striped sock on the same day, and yeah, that's creative. Is it really a good idea? Not so much.
Well, your publicist had sent us a list of names that you like and a list of company names that you don't like. There's a name on the list that you don't like that I have to say, the first time I saw it, I thought that is perfect for what this company does. And I think it matches everything in your SMILE criteria. So I'm curious, what's wrong with the name for a company, DocuSign?
Yeah, DocuSign, to me, it's plain and it's tame. And yeah, they were first out of the gate, I believe. It's just kind of uninspired. And if they ever do more than document signing, they will outgrow their name. A lot of companies do outgrow their name. Fast Signs, you're probably familiar with that chain of retail stores. Fast Signs tagline is more than fast, more than signs, because they outgrew their name.
So help us with, like, in that case, DocuSign really matches the descriptive side, right? It's very clear from their name, but now it's pigeonholing them is what your fear is as they grow. We're in Park City, Utah. We're a small town, but we've got some great businesses that are here, probably some of which that have outgrown their original name. As you talk to clients, boy, it's really hard for a company to change their name. They've been in business for 15 years. They've finally got some traction. They're finally growing. And a naming consultant comes in and says, you know, you may want to think about changing your name. Tell us how that discussion goes and how you help company owners make the right decision for them on that.
Well, here's how to look at it. Women are really good at looking at this. If you got married, and let's say you're let's say you got married at 25 and then you're 30. How many people do you know now that never knew you and you changed your name? How many people know you by your new name versus your maiden name? Probably a lot. And you have to think of your company name the same way. How many customers, how old is your business? How many customers will you have in the future? Your old name will fade. And I'll tell you right now, we are naming a bank in Kansas that is renaming it. It's 106 years old, and we just gave it a new name. So it's never too late to change your name. And when you do change your name now versus 45 years ago, it is much easier because of the internet and email. So you change your name, you change your domain name, you can do a redirect. It's seamless. You can send out an email. You can do social media. And let's say, you know, your customer is, you know, deep in the jungles of Madagascar on a mission. They're off the grid. And they come back and they try to find you and, you know, they can't Google, right? It's easy now. So don't be afraid to change your name. And I want to just say for your listeners that remember Spoon Me, eat my words, named Spoon Me back in the day, the big chain of frozen yogurt stores. And that is still my favorite name ever in 15 years of doing this business. And in my book, Spoon Me is the focus of two chapters in the book, the Create a Brief chapter and the Brainstorming chapter. And I tell you in the Brainstorming chapter how I went about of naming Spoon Me, and I take you through creative exercises. That's really fun.
I personally like Gringo Lingo, but neither here nor there.
Gringo Lingo.
I interrupted you when you were telling me as we were going through the smile meanings, and we got to memorable. Let's talk about uses imagery and has legs.
Okay, imagery is you want your name to create a visual image because people remember pictures much more easily than they remember words or random letters. So if you can picture something in your head, you'll be able to recall it later from your brain's dusty filing cabinet. And, you know, going back to being memorable, you want your name to have as much going for it that makes it memorable. And then the L in smile stands for legs. And that means your name lends itself to a theme. Jimmy Buffett, who you probably know, singer-songwriter, the, you know, laid-back Margaritaville guy, has lent his name to a chain of 55-plus retirement communities, and they're called Latitude Margaritaville. And the theme of laid-back lifestyle is prevalent throughout. So street names are Tiki Terrace and Lost Shaker Way and Flip Flop Court. Like, who wouldn't want return address labels from Tiki Terrace, right? And the pet spa is named Barkeritaville. The business center is named the Coconut Telegraph. So you're laughing, you're smiling. And I went to their Facebook page for Latitude Margaritaville, and there's all these pictures of people standing in front of this kind of cool tropical street sign with all the street names and with, you know, we bought a home, and people are excited. And, you know, otherwise, yeah, you might take your picture at your new retirement community, but the fact that you're there and it's like everybody knows Margaritaville, that makes it something worth sharing. And that's another great reason to have a name with legs, is you can really extend the brand.
If you're just joining us this morning, we're talking with Alexandra Watkins. She is the author of Hello, My Name is Awesome, which, by the way, is a great name for a book. The book is $17, and the chapter on brainstorming and kind of the exercises you give people to go through to come up with good names is worth 10 times, 100 times the price of your book. Books are just an amazing bargain. The amount of wisdom and information you get from them, particularly when an author talks about something that goes against your intuition. And one of the things that went against my intuition in your book is you feel very strongly that you should not use focus groups when you're naming your company. Why is that?
Because focus groups kill great names, and it's been the death of many good names. Now, think about it. When you're naming a brand, if you've read my book, you're the expert on names. You are the expert on your brand. And if you go into a focus group, suddenly people think they're the expert. And think of names that would have been killed, right?
So you have a great list of
names. The Body Shop is a chain of, beauty brand. It's a beauty brand, you know, big retail chain, international. And you could just see somebody in a focus group saying, you know, woman saying, ooh, the Body Shop, ugh, that's like my greasy mechanic and the dirty couch and old, you know, calendars on the wall. So names like that, Coach, the, you know, international luxury brand, you can just hear somebody saying, ew, Coach, that's the worst place to sit on an airplane. That's not luxury.
Let me share a couple of the
focus groups are bad.
Let me share a couple of the names you have in the book because they're really fun. And okay. as is your entire book to read. It's a very fun read. Fossil, the apparel company that makes great clothing. Focus group might say it's dirty old relic and brittle. Skinny Cow, which I used to love before I became vegan. Skinny Cow implies that if I buy this ice cream, I must be fat. And then your favorite name, this one must have really got your goat, Spoon Me for the yogurt shop. Spoon Me implies that it may lead to teen pregnancy. So it's like Bill Gates said, you know, if you ask people what they wanted 200 years ago, as far as transportation, they would have said a faster horse. Which leads me to my next question, which is, what do you think of the name Apple Computers? It seems to break many of the rules in your book. What do you? Obviously, now they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars on building that brand name. But if you were advising young Steve Jobs and young Steve Wozniak about a name, what would you have told them about the name Apple Computers?
I mean, I don't think it's the greatest name. Look, you can spell it, you can pronounce it, you can remember it, all that. It's not particularly clever. I never really got the Apple, like the reason behind it, but there is a reason behind it. I like that they named the Macintosh after an Apple. I wish they would have done a little bit more of that, using apples as inspiration. But what I think is, you know, everybody thinks so great are the names of their operating systems, and some are, but if you think of some of the names, like Yosemite, not everybody knows how to pronounce Yosemite. A lot of people pronounce it Yosemite, and unless you are familiar with the National Park or watched a lot of Bugs Bunny and know Yosemite Sam, you might not be familiar with that word.
And it's interesting because while I've always thought Apple software was very clever, I think the term Microsoft is a much better name.
I don't know. Really?
I do. No? You don't like Microsoft as a name?
I just feel like, again, it's like it's uninspired and...
Which highlights the exact challenge.
I'm a bad focus group guy.
Well, it highlights the exact challenge that we're coming up with. Your book does a great job of driving through exercise and giving people a framework, but ultimately, is it does it come down to you've got a list of three or four creative names, descriptive names, and ultimately the founder of the company, the CEO, just has to pick one, or how do you suggest they make their final decision?
Well, for sure, run it through the smile and scratch test to see if it passes muster. A lot of names don't. And you want a name like Spoon Me that has all of those great qualities, right? It's suggestive, it's memorable, it has great imagery, it has legs. When Spoon Me opened, before they opened a store, instead of coming soon, the sign outside would say spooning soon. On the front door to the Spoon Me stores, the message said, no shirt, no shoes, no spoon. And for hours, it said spooning hours, and it said no on Sunday. So that's a name with legs, right? And then Eve, emotional connection. You want your name to make an emotional connection, and obviously Spoon Me does. People smile when they hear it, and it conjures up all kinds of emotional responses. But that's what you want to do. Run your name through the smile and scratch test and really think about what makes a name strong, what makes a name weak.
One of the interesting things that you talk about, and we've mentioned this before, is the importance of having a name you don't outgrow. Can you give us some examples of companies that named themselves in ways that really constrained them as their product lines developed?
Yeah, well, the best thing to think of is, what if Amazon had named themselves Book Barn? Right? So think of that when you're naming your company. How big will you grow? You want a name that scales. One company that really outgrew their name is in Canada. and it's Canadian Tire. What do you think Canadian Tire sells?
Tires to Canadians?
Yeah, tires.
Or
right?
Tires,
well,
made in Canada?
Canadian believe it or not, 9 out of 10 Canadians shop at Canadian Tire once a week. And that's because Canadian Tire sells a lot more than tires. They sell tools and toys and tropical plants, trampolines, tents, all kinds of things that start with every letter of the alphabet, not just T. And they outgrew their name. It's a very old company. And they're another one where the tagline had to say, you know, we're more than just tires. That was in the 80s. Now, everybody in Canada now knows that Canadian Tire sells way more than tires. But what if Canadian Tire wanted to roll into the U.S.? And what if they opened a big store in Park City called Canadian Tire? How many people in Park City would know that they sell all of those other things? So Canadian Tire would have to spend a lot of money on an ad campaign explaining their name and apologizing for it. And you don't want to have to apologize for your name. Anytime you have to explain your name to somebody, spell it, tell them how to pronounce it, explain what it means, you're essentially apologizing for it, which devalues your brand.
Well, that's a great note for us to end on. It creates a sense of urgency to go out and buy our author's book. We've been speaking with Alexandra Watkins. She is the author of Hello, My Name is Awesome, How to Create Brand Names That Stick. Alexandra, thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
That was a fascinating conversation. Really had a lot of fun talking to those authors. We want to thank our great sponsors for the show, because we couldn't do a show like this. We couldn't bring a quality program to you each and every Monday morning without our sponsors. They include Mountain West Bank, Jan's Mountain Outfitters, Park City Chamber Bureau, Columbus Pacific Development with Pendry and Apex Residences, San Francisco Design, and Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties.
And we would also like to thank those great guests we had today. Alexandra Watkins, who wrote this really interesting book called Hello, My Name is Awesome, about techniques to name your business.